Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all on this lovely morning. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online at this time or later in the day or week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory hymn 127, 127, O worship the King, all glorious above. The psalmist declared, "Exalt the Lord our God, and bow down towards his holy mountain, for holy is the Lord." Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, you are clothed in majesty and splendor. Countless are the things you have made. The earth is enriched by your provision. The sea is vast beyond measure, and such is your glory. We ask, Who are we that you should be mindful of us? And what have we done that you should be so kind in your dealings with us? Lord God, we call upon you and you hear us. In times of trouble, you stretch out your hand to help us. We bow before you, for you are a God like no other, and we, your people, praise you. Gracious God, your love for us is such, you know all there is to know about us. We confess we have sometimes been forgetful of you. We look upon this time of worship as a duty rather than a privilege. And we have not loved you or our neighbour as we have been commanded to do. Holy and merciful God, you know how we are formed. Forgive us our sins and make us more perfectly yours, that we may worship you as we ought and delight in serving you, the one who is Lord and God of all. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. A big thank you to the willing group of volunteers who have worked so hard in the church grounds and the surrounding area throughout these past months. The final work job was done on Tuesday afternoon of last week. It was a lovely afternoon, and we're very grateful to all who came along, and to Jan and Dorothy for the lovely tea that was provided when we finished. So thank you for that. The Blythewood Care Christmas Shoebox appeal is drawing towards a close. Individual items or filled shoeboxes will be welcome, but the last day for donations is next Sunday. Monetary donations will also be welcome, and there are leaflets in both vestibules of the church today. The publicity team will meet in the session house here at the church on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Anyone interested in the work of the publicity team or who would like to get involved and help out will be most welcome. That's on Tuesday, 7 o'clock in the session house. There'll be a service in Eccles Court at 2 o'clock on Wednesday, and then in Westerland's care home at 3 o'clock again on Wednesday. On Wednesday evening at 7:30, there will be an informal gathering of elders from St Ninian's Old, and the City Centre congregations will gather in Park Church Hall. That's on Wednesday at 7:30. The craft group will meet in the parish halls this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock. Stirling Tasey group will have a service on Friday at 7:30 in Holy Trinity Episcopal Church in Dumbarton Road. The service includes songs, Bible readings and prayer, as well as a time for silent meditation. That's this coming Friday, 7:30, Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Advance notice, the Tuesday group will meet in the parish halls a week on Tuesday at 2 o'clock when there'll be a quiz. Don't let that put you off if you're not into quizzes. Come along, because there'll be a cup of tea or coffee and an enjoyable time of fellowship. That's a week on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. And then on Thursday, the 2nd of November, we'll begin a series of Advent studies. And these will be held at 7 o'clock each Thursday throughout November in part church, and it'll be a joint church event, and all will be welcome. And that concludes the intimations for today. We sing the hymn 356, 356, Meekness and Majesty.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 23, and can be found on page 73 of the Pew Bible, I'll be reading from the Good News Bible today. Chapter 33, verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go to the land that I promised to give to Abraham." Excuse me. Verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "It is true that you have told me to lead these people to that land, but you did not tell me whom you would send with me. You have said that you know me well and are pleased with me. Now, if you are, tell me your plans so that I may serve you and continue to please you. Remember also that you have chosen this nation to be your own." The Lord said, "I will go with you, and I will give you victory." Moses replied, "If you do not go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you are pleased with your people and with me if you do not go with us? Your presence with us will distinguish us from any other people on earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do just as you have asked, because I know you very well and I am pleased with you." Then Moses requested, "Please let me see the dazzling light of your presence." The Lord answered, "I will make all my splendor pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce my sacred name. I am the Lord, and I show compassion and pity on those I choose. I will not let you see my face, because no one can see me and stay alive. But here is a place beside me where you can stand on a rock. When the dazzling light of my presence passes by, I will put you in an opening in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back, but not my face." The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 181 of the Pew Bible. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 from the beginning. "We always thank God for you all and mention you in our prayers. For we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice, how your love made you work so hard, and how your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ is firm. Our brothers and sisters, we know that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own. For we brought the good news to you, not with words only, but also with power and the Holy Spirit, and with complete conviction of its truth. You know how we lived when we were with you. It was for your own good. You imitated us and the Lord, and even though you suffered much, you received the message with the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. So you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia, for not only did the message about the Lord go out from you throughout Macedonia and Achaia, but the news about your faith in God has gone everywhere. There is nothing then that we need to say. All those people speak about how you received us when we visited you, and how you turned away from idols to God to serve the true and living God and wait for his Son to come from heaven, his Son Jesus, whom he raised from death and who rescues us from God's anger that is coming." Amen. And may God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Elaine. We worship God in the hymn 742, hymn 742, "Rejoice in God's Saints Today and All Days." In our prayer of intercession, I will say the words, Lord, hear, Lord, in your mercy, and I invite you to respond with the words, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, in the midst of all that troubles us at this time, you are our refuge, the one to whom we can turn, and the one who gives us hope. Lord, in your mercy, hour by hour, day by day, we hear with concern of the escalating violence in Israel and Palestine, and our hearts are touched as we think of all the innocent people caught up in the war. To see images of babies, of children and of adults, injured or killed, is truly horrific. And we can only imagine how it must be for those held hostage, those anxious about family members and friends, and those without food, shelter, or medical supplies. Father, as we remember those seeking to get aid to those in need, we pray also for those who have the power to bring peace. Touch their hearts, O God, that reason may overcome rage and revenge. Lord, in your mercy, loving God, in your presence, we remember those who are dear to us. And we pray for those in our own country who have suffered as a result of the rain and flooding of recent days. We thank you for the work of the emergency services and for all endeavouring to help and give support at this time. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, in whose sight each one is precious, we pray for the lonely, for the unemployed, for those who are troubled in their mind, for those who are sick in body, and for all who mourn. As a congregation, we remember the family and friends of Colin McVean, who has entered into his eternal rest. Be to them a source of comfort and of peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, rejoicing in your saints and giving thanks for those who today encourage and inspire us, bless your church, that at this time of challenge and change, our faith may be evident. And remembering that you have called us to be living stones, let us walk in the light and bear testimony to your redeeming love and grace. Lord, in your mercy, in Jesus' name, amen. We sing the hymn 642, hymn 642, Ye That Know the Lord is Gracious.
Thank you.
This is, without doubt, a time of challenge and of change for the Church of Scotland. The well-documented decline in the number of ministers and in the number of members is having an impact throughout the land. And alas, it has been decided that many of our buildings should close their doors. And that is keenly felt by those who have worshipped in them for more years than perhaps they care to remember. This is happening in towns and in cities, but it is also happening in villages, where the church building is sometimes the only place in the village where people can come together. That was the case in several of the villages where I was the assistant minister in Upper Tweeddale. Indeed, in many villages today, there isn't a shop. Increasingly, there isn't a school. And now, a lot of villages will be without a church. While I understand that buildings cost money to maintain, they are also a visible presence, reminding people that there is another dimension to life, that there is a God who loves us and gave his Son to save us. And such places surely afford us the opportunity to come together in times of joy and of sorrow. They are places dedicated to the glory of God, where we can simply be and know God's presence in a way that is almost tangible. I think history will show the Church of Scotland was unwise to close so many buildings. It's a huge mistake. But of course, like you, I know the church is more than buildings. The church is people. People who are seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, even though all our buildings were to be closed, the church, albeit a different one from the one we have known, would continue. But how are we to cope with the challenges and changes of this time? Do we shrug our shoulders in despair and quietly resign ourselves to a future that is not one we envisaged? Or do we look to the future with great hope, believing that while others may fail us, God will not, and therefore we continue in our endeavour to be faithful, God's people, living stones appointed by him and called out of darkness into his wonderful light? I believe that just as a country, we have much to learn from the past in order that we can put right things today and create a better future. So it is for the church. How much we have to learn from the great heroes of the faith and from the first Christians. Think of Moses. In the passage we read from Exodus, we get a glimpse of the relationship that Moses and God had. Moses wanted to be faithful, and he exhorted God, he pleaded with God, "If I have indeed won your favor, as you say I have, then teach me to know your ways." Moses had been given the task of leading God's people, and there was a degree of hesitation on his part. How could they, a sometimes stubborn people, be distinct from other people on earth and remain true to God and his ways? How could they succeed in that? Moses knew the answer. They could only do so with God's help. And so, in acknowledgement of this, God responded with a wonderful assurance. He said, "I will be with you wherever you go." And that assurance meant more than simply being present with the people. It meant that God would equip them for all that they had to do and for all that they would face as his people. At this time of challenge and change, I believe that, like Moses, we also have to seek to understand God's ways. Why? It's in order that we can remain true to him and not be aloof but distinct, in the sense that we don't blend in with the culture of the age, but rather display in our lives the fruits of the Spirit and continue with renewed zeal the work our Lord began, and how great the need is for that work to continue. You may have heard the story about the man who was hired to paint white lines on a road. On the first day, he impressed his boss by painting 10 miles of white lines. And his boss continued to be impressed when, on the second day, he painted 5 miles of white lines. Alas, on the third day, he only painted 0.5 mile, and his boss was anything but impressed. "How come you only painted 0.5 mile? He asked. "Well," the man replied, "to tell you the truth, I just kept getting further and further away from the tin of paint." Can I put it to you? As we change and face up to the challenges that confront us as a church, we must be careful lest we inadvertently move further and further away from God and his ways. We must watch we do not move further and further away from those we are called to witness to and to serve in Christ's name in our villages, our towns, and our cities. In the passage from 1 Thessalonians that we read, these words spoke to me. "We continually call to mind before our God and Father how your faith has shown itself in action, your love in labor, and your hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in perseverance." My friends, Paul and the Thessalonians had come to faith from very different backgrounds and places. But Paul was clearly impressed by them, and he began his letter by thanking them. A good place to begin. At the time in question, the followers of Jesus were being persecuted. Yet many in Thessalonica received the gospel gladly. And it was evident in what they did and how they lived that it permeated their whole being. I think there's something tremendous about the sheer defiance of the first Christians. When prudence would have dictated a way of life that would escape notice and so avoid danger and persecution, the Christians' faith sounded forth like a trumpet. They were not afraid to show whose they were and whom they sought to serve. What a reputation the church at Thessalonica had. "You have become an example," wrote Paul, "to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, to every place where your faith in God has become known." I ask, as we reflect on that commendation, what would Paul say of the church in Scotland and the church of Scotland today? And what do others say? Would we be commended? Would we be thanked? It's good to be known for our hospitality and friendship, for well-built and cared-for buildings. But can I put it to you in all sincerity? It is better by far to be known for our faith, a faith that reveals itself in love for God and for our neighbour, a faith that reaches out to the poor and to those on the margins, a faith that seeks justice and equality and reconciliation, and a faith that, to quote the old hymn, will not shrink though pressed by many a foe. You remember the words of Jesus to the first followers. "You," he said, can you picture him looking at them individually, going round them? "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." I wonder what they thought and how they felt. But clearly, Jesus believed in them. And my friends, he believes in us. We who are the church, his body, in the world and in Scotland today. But how are we in this time of challenge and change to be true to our calling? How do we keep the faith and let it be evident in such a time as this? I read recently of a 30-story building that was built and completed in a comparatively short time. It was quite an achievement. But when the project manager was asked about it, he spoke of the many, many, many weeks it took to build the foundation. He said, "The taller the building, the deeper the foundation has to be." And that is how it is with the church. whose only sure foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. My friends, when we build our lives on Him, when we anchor ourselves in God's ways, when we let the Holy Spirit be our guide, then we will find we are strong, even in a time of challenge and change. We will shine even when it is dark, and we will be the salt that preserves the world and makes life better, not only for ourselves, but for others. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us take a moment, and in the quiet, let us pray for the Church of Scotland in these days. Gracious God, hear the silent prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, the great King and Head of the Church. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn 616. It's a great hymn. 616, there's a spirit in the air, telling Christians everywhere, praise the love that Christ revealed, living, working in our world.
Thank you.
May God, who is the ground of hope, fill you with joy and peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.